WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and New York's long-anticipated bike share program is due to start this month. Memorial Day, Mayor Mike?
It is Memorial Day weekend in May? Then it's possible.
It's such a big secret. We'll have to see what day in May. We'll find out if more cyclists means more mayhem in the streets as well, or if more bikes in the bike lanes will make drivers and pedestrians keep out and we'll all just get along. Maybe we'll even make it into the rankings of the top cycling cities of the world. No American city made a new top 20 list. Who's number one? Amsterdam. And my next guest, Pete Jordan, is here to talk about his book, In the City of Bikes, the story of the Amsterdam cyclist. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
And great timing, right, since you were booked already and this list just came out. Are you surprised that Amsterdam beat out Copenhagen, which is the other archetypal European cycling city?
Am I surprised? No, but I am very happy that it did happen that way. I know Copenhagen's been doing a lot lately, and I hope that Copenhagen would be number one, so it'd kick Amsterdam in the pants so they could improve higher. They could work harder to do more for the cyclists.
And listeners, what would make New York a great cycling city? Have you ridden in one of the top cities? What can we learn from Amsterdam if you've been there or any other city that has a good bicycling culture? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for the author of In the City of Bikes, the story of the Amsterdam cyclist, Pete Jordan. And by the way, I'm going to trust that you really are Pete Jordan, and the security desk in the lobby checked your ID because I heard about how you sent a friend in your place onto Letterman to talk about your earlier project of washing dishes across the country. Did that really happen?
That did happen, yes. This was a long time back, but the Letterman show invited me to be on, and I had no interest in doing any television or any sort of press. I was just washing dishes on my own and writing about it, and people seemed to enjoy my dishwashing tales. But as far as self-promotion, that wasn't my thing at the time. But a friend of mine, he did want to appear on television, and I was here already in New York. And I said, well, tell them you're me. And they flew him in from San Francisco, and I went with him and sat backstage while he went out on stage and, yeah, pretended he was me.
How did anybody ever figure it out, or did you just release it?
Well, I told a number of friends, and I told everybody I knew, hey, watch TV tonight, and everyone knew my reluctance to go on television, so everyone was surprised that I would appear, and then a number of people who weren't in on the joke called the show the next day saying, hey, I know that guy. That person you had on TV is an imposter.
But you want to talk about this.
Yes.
So as you describe it in the book, you arrived in Amsterdam for a one-year program to study urban planning, saw all the cyclists, bought a bike, and pretty much decided on the spot to move there permanently. Is it because cycling was that impressive or important to you?
It was very important to me. That's the reason why I went. I was studying urban planning, and my idea was that I would go there and learn how the Dutch design cities for the cyclists and accommodate cyclists in their urban areas. And then I would take that knowledge, bring it back to America, and implement it somewhere in America. But it only took a day or two seeing these hundreds of thousands of cyclists on the streets and realized, and I fell in love, and I thought, I want to live here forever. And it's now been 11 years, and I'm still there.
In your book, you go through some of the history of cycling in Amsterdam. So what made it so popular there? Was it World War II? Was it high taxes on cars? There are many relatively similar cities, geographically speaking, in Europe. So why Amsterdam?
Well, yes, it's a very flat city, of course. That's very
it helps.
It's very compact. But also, I think it's the Dutch mindset. The Dutch are very practical people. And there's in the 1920s, for example, when cars were exploding in America, at the same time bikes were exploding there, and there wasn't a need to own a car. Yet that, even in the 1920s here, there was very much a sense of conspicuous consumption that Dutch people who came to America and wanted to ride a bike here were warned by their American friends, no, that's socially unacceptable. Everyone will, you'll be an outcast if you ride a bike in America. But to the Dutch, everyone rode a bike then and now, from rich to poor and everyone in between.
Ben in Brooklyn, just back from Amsterdam. Yes, Ben?
Hi there. Yeah, actually, I'm back from Amsterdam and Copenhagen. And I guess my experience in both cities motivated me to buy a bike, a Dutch bike, and start biking here in the city.
And what was it about it? Can you put anything into words about why it worked so well in those cities?
Oh, I could put it into probably too many words. I think the terrain does help, but the traffic, I guess, structure and architecture that they've developed for the bikes is particularly helpful. Right, so you have your own bike lanes, and almost every major street has a bike lane, not just the selected streets. And then you also have special bike traffic lights, which isn't all over the city. We have a few. But I think that certainly helps to organize traffic better, so motorists, pedestrians, and cyclists don't interfere as we often see here.
Ben, thank you for that. What would you add to that?
That's true. And what I would add to it is that a lot of what he saw there isn't all that old. It's just from the past 30 years or so. For the first decades, 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, there were hundreds of thousands of cyclists on the streets there. But the city fathers and the city planners did nothing special for the cyclists. It was just purely because cyclists outnumbered cars 20 to 1 or so in the 1930s that the cyclists ruled the streets. But when cars started to become introduced into the city in the 1960s, then it became a great problem there. And even the mayor of Amsterdam said in 20 years' time, no one's going to be riding a bike. The future is with the car. But by the 1970s, there was a backlash. A lot of environmentally minded folks took to the streets on their bikes, protesting that the city became unlivable with this great influx of cars. And since the 1980s to this day, they've been doing a great deal to make the city far more bike-friendly.
And when I visited Amsterdam, it was in January a number of years ago. It was frigid. There had just been a snow. And yet people were biking.
Yeah. This year, there are maybe 2 days when I didn't bike. I hate taking the bus. I hate taking the tram, but I had to take my son to school, and the snow was simply too high to take him on my bike to school.
And yet, for people who think that Amsterdam is bicycle nirvana, you describe a kind of cycling cycle in the book that goes round and round, where one, the police declare cyclists to be out of control and start issuing tickets. Cyclists are shocked, and become more law-abiding. The police say problem solved, so cyclists start breaking traffic rules again. And round and round it goes.
Yeah, that's something in my research that I found that pattern happening over and over the past 100 years. And it's interesting because, no one has ever researched this stuff before, not even a Dutch person. The book has been, it's also been published in Dutch, and the Dutch have been fascinated. That's taken a foreigner to explain this to them. But these patterns in the I found particularly interesting. And it's the mindset of the Amsterdam cyclists. They're known now, they have a great reputation throughout the country as being very hard-headed and anarchistic, and yet going back into, a century ago, 1920s, the same words were being used to describe the cyclists there, anarchistic or chaotic or what have you.
Here's Rosemary in Rutherford with experience in another European city. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi. Yeah, I go to Munich every summer with my husband. We love it, and we bicycle everywhere there because it's so safe and because you can go so far. I mean, they have bike lanes that, you can go, from one town to another along the Isar River there and pretty much not get into traffic. You're on bike lanes. I have to tell you a funny story. The first time I went to Germany, I didn't know about the bike lanes, and I was standing in one, and I went, God, everybody's so mean. They just keep honking their bike bells at me. And it's like there's very special lanes for the bikes that you have to stay out of, which I think is pretty terrific, And they're everywhere.
How about the bicyclists themselves obeying traffic laws? Is it less chaotic there than here?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I bicycle in New Jersey, and I'm really, you know, I'm amazed how, I mean, there's very few bicyclists here, but in New York, I kind of stopped bicycling because I felt like all the bicyclists were going through the lights, and I was really afraid, you know. Not, you know, I mean, I hate to put the messengers down, but sometimes it is the messengers, you know, and so I feel like nobody's obeying the laws. Like, the pedestrians aren't, the bicyclists aren't, the cars aren't. So it's a little scary, you know. And in New Jersey, I'm just going to throw New Jersey in there. When I bicycle out here, people look at me like, oh, that crazy woman on her bike, you know, instead of like, oh, yay, she's not burning gas, you know.
Rosemary, thank you very much. Great story. And here's Weil, appropriately, yes. I think, outside the Holland Tunnel. Hi, Weil.
I'm about to get into the Holland Tunnel. I'm actually a New York City taxi driver for now because I got laid off from my job. But I want to put my input on the bikes. First of all, it's a two-sided issue here. The city has a duty towards bikers. First of all, I personally believe that to treat them equal, they have to be registered, they have to be licensed, and they have to have some kind of insurance. The second thing, there's concrete walls in Amsterdam that separate bike lanes from the road. And second of all, they don't have the huge size trucks that we have here in New York City. And as far as the messengers are concerned, I'll tell you, they just do real obscene things in traffic. And it's just so scary. I mean, they go through the light. They would drive the wrong way, biking between the lanes. And I'll tell you, I've gone into so many accidents with messenger bikes.
Yeah. Well, thank you. You've put a lot of great topics on the table. Let's see if we can tick off some of those, Pete. First, the separated bike lanes. You talked about the concrete barriers mm-hmm. between the car lanes and the bike lanes, mm-hmm. Which, of course, are every bike planner's dream yeah. to have those separated lanes. Are they ubiquitous in Amsterdam?
There's lots of them, but it's not the only way. You know, I used to – my commute from home to my workplace – I used to think it was amazing because sometimes I was on the street with the car, sometimes I was on a painted bike lane, sometimes I was on a complete separated bike lane, sometimes I was on a street that was only for cyclists. Sometimes I jetted through a park on a bike lane. So it's a great mix. There's not just one solution for it.
And what about registering, licensing, and insuring bikes and bike riders? Do they do that in Europe?
Not at all. And the issue here, I think, is that in America, the bicycle is treated as a motor vehicle, just about. And whereas in Holland, it's its own class. It's not a motor vehicle. It's not a pedestrian. It's somewhere in between.
You live in Amsterdam. You're here, I guess, on a book tour. Have you biked in New York?
I used to bike in New York in the mid-1990s, yeah. And being back now today, it's amazing to see the difference, the new bike lanes and the bike racks. There used to not be any bike racks around. Yesterday afternoon, I saw a family that they looked like they stepped right out of Iowa, mother and father and three kids, cycling on rental bikes up 7th Avenue. I thought you would never have seen that 10 years ago.
Any advice, because you've studied this so much and are so familiar with Amsterdam, one of the great biking cities, on either how to roll out the bike share in particular or how to continue to develop New York as a bicycle commuting city without causing total chaos?
Well, two things about the advice is that this is where Amsterdam was 30 years ago. You know, there was a great political debates about taking lanes away from cars and parking spaces away from cars and giving them over to cyclists and bike parking. And it was a political debate that the cyclists fought and continue to fight and continue to win, fortunately. About the bike share, I find it's tremendously interesting because that is an idea that comes from Amsterdam that I write. I spend two chapters on in my book describing the history of it from beginning in the 1960s to this day.
Pete Jordan is the author of In the City of Bikes, the story of the Amsterdam cyclist. And I'm pretty convinced that he's the real Pete Jordan and not an imposter, because the real Pete Jordan doesn't really want to go on the radio. Let's see. Do you use Twitter?
I don't, but cityofbikes.com, or find me on Facebook, Pete Jordan's author page.
All right. Or you could, if you do start to tweet, you could go by the real Pete Jordan.
Uh-huh.
Like people do sometimes.
Thank you.
With their names, if they're prone to impostering. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.